podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
If he kicks this, he can shave whichever part of his body he wants.
Welcome to 2023 from the Attacking Scrum podcast. Hope you've had a good Christmas and New Year. The festive season has given us lots of rugby to overindulge in. And here with me to start the new year with the best of intentions, it's the Mighty Murph.
Evening.
And making his first appearance on the show, it's Harry Corrish, writer-editor for Dice Sports. Evening, gents. How are we doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Good stuff. On this episode, we will be looking back, of course, at the festive derbies, who performed well, who didn't, spoiler alert, the Dragons, and what it may mean for some players' hopes of making Warren Gatland's squad for the Six Nations. Murph, how was Christmas in the Murphy household before we get underway?
Yeah, good. I've been ill, so has my other half, but we managed to get through Christmas Day first before we all caved, so... And I wasn't actually out of commission for that long, so it could have been worse. It could have been a full. Some people have had. We were saying off air, some people had a full week of flu, but I was back on my feet and able to go and watch the game yesterday at the Arms Park. So
magic. And Harry, I take it you've probably had as much rugby as you've had mince pies this Christmas, have you?
Yeah, of course. Short pit stop really for Christmas, and then back to things then straight away. So yeah, but can't complain really. Good stuff really. So bringing a bit of positivity really, I think, in this difficult time.
Yeah, well let's start by looking at those Christmas derbies, and as you say there, before we get stuck into the team's performances, what do you make of the derbies as a whole, like, as a spectacle? Let's start with you, Harry.
Yeah, I think it was really, really positive, to be honest. I think with all that's come out with the contract situation and everything, and maybe the national team performance, it was a bit of a worry, really, whether the crowds would come in and that kind of thing. And I think, firstly, you've got to praise the players. They've really stuck in, and they've put some fantastic performances, a lot of them really coming into form at the right moment, really, and really putting their hands up. And whether that's down to the big man that's just come in Warren Gatland, you never know, really. But yeah, some good performances and definitely positivity coming through.
And what about you, Murph? What do you make of the derbies as a whole?
Well, I much prefer the Boxing Day games over yesterday's games. Boxing Day was high-scoring games that I think six tries in each of the two games on Boxing Day, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously the one game could have gone either way. I thought Newport had enough to win at that stage. But then yesterday in West Wales, you had two teams desperate to win, and then the game was coloured by the card. And things got a bit, I don't know. Although they, you know, the Scarlets ended up running out 33 points, it just felt a bit... fractured and stop start and a bit niggly. I'm not against niggle in a derby game, but it just didn't really flow like the games did on Boxing Day. And then I was at the Arms Park yesterday for Cardiff and the Ospreys, and I just think I was there in the flesh, and I just don't feel I don't feel as though I saw enough rugby, if that makes any sense. Like, the Ospreys clearly had an advantage up front, and they made sure the game was of a style that made sure they would come out on top. So by that I mean, for example, Cardiff scored a try, I think it was a Josh Adams try in the second half, and then under the post taking their time, and then it seemed to take forever to take the kick. Then when they walked up to halfway, they all stopped then to make a substitution, and then Owen Williams was taking a long time over his kicks, and it just felt like they didn't want much rugby played. And I was going to say I had parted with my money for a ticket, but I hadn't. I had a comp. So, but even so, I'd made the effort to go and watch it in the flesh. And I would rather. I think if Cardiff had got a stronger pack out, say our hip was there, and Rory Thornton had been there to challenge more in the lineup to give him a stronger lineup presence. I think the Ospreys might be forced to play more rugby because they just genuinely, when they did pass the ball along their backhand, all they were looking for was to be down Jared Evans's channel and Ben Thomas's channel, and then there was nothing expansive going on after that. It wasn't tying anyone and then go wide. There was just no intent attacking wise from the Ospreys, and that is their right, and it worked. But I just think the way, especially the way the entertainment on the field is working so well over in the Gallagher Premiership at the moment. I just saw yesterday, for my money, I guess that, you know, it was close to the end, so that was one thing. But I just didn't feel.
I think they all were, though. That's the thing for me. I think if you look at, and I agree. Like we often say this, that the English Premiership is perhaps a better, shinier product. And yes, we know they've got their own problems themselves. But I think in years gone by, we've had massive mismatches in these games, or lots of players rotated, or they've been played out within the international window. The fact that they really all went down to the wire, and in the last 10 minutes of all of those games, you didn't necessarily know who was going to win. That, for me, I think is a good step forward. You know, games played in South Wales over Christmas, there's always going to be an impact of the weather and certain style of play. What did you make of the on the pitch stuff then, Harry?
Yeah, it was very interesting tactical battles, really. I think that the weather did play a part, but I think you saw the Ospreys really take control in the lineouts and at the scrum. It was very impressive. I thought it was a big challenge for Carey with no tight ends on the other side, really backing him up. I thought he'd done okay, but obviously the Ospreys were able to take advantage of those areas. And speaking to Toby Booth before the game, we were talking a little bit about the on the ground sort of situation, and maybe if they were worried about Cardiff's threat over the ball, and I think that obviously played a role as well. So I think that they weren't too keen on trying to overcome that. But again, some impressive performances. I think Blues did what they could without much of a pack, really. They targeted Jack Walsh early on, which I thought would be a good tactic. And they did play some good rugby, but again, those important moments, really, they failed to really get their way in it, and Ospreys just nicked it. And I think it was a fair reflection on the game, really, in the end.
Looking at those important moments, the one for me that springs to mind was the decision to go for sticks at the end of the game. Do you think that was a mistake, looking back, Harry?
Look, for any of the neutrals and that kind of thing, I was I was screaming at the TV saying, please do not go for the kick. But look, you could see where they are in the table, and you can understand where they're coming from. I think maybe it was from the touch side and that kind of thing, but it would have been nice to see them go for it, really, because they lost anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think obviously they've got more to play for in terms of the league position. So, you know, a draw mightn't have been a bad result, but I kind of just felt like the way lineouts are these days, I know you can always have a crooked throw or it can get stopped at source, but you feel like the percentages of that position of getting it down into the opposition and at least having something to play with, and then maybe getting a penalty closer to sticks or even getting over the line. I don't know. It felt like that would have been the time to do it for me. Murph, what would you have done in that scenario?
I just based purely on the way Cardiff were going up front. It posts to me all day.
Fair enough.
And like we made the point about the league position, you can see how significant it was now, because they've dropped three spaces on the back of a losing bonus point in the end. So that's how, you know, the top end is very, very closely packed. So I still would have gone for the post myself.
Fair enough. Let's stick with that game and take a bit of a look at the Ospreys in a bit more detail. It's been a good, you know, obviously a good festive period for them. Prior to the derbies, you had the win over Montpellier. Harry, do you think Toby Booth's men have turned the corner now?
Yeah, look, you've got to say that they have, really. I think they've been threatening it all season, and I think those close close games and maybe tight losses. Now they're just showing really where they should be. I think those small losses, maybe if they've got wins, they'd be higher up in the table. And I think they've shown that they're capable. I think Owen Williams has been huge for them because Jack Walsh, he's a fantastic prospect. I've seen him a few times this season, played fantastically well. But I think Owen Williams has got that composure and he's really helped them play in the right areas and that kind of thing. And obviously his kicking has improved. I think Jack Walsh has been, I don't know, not too great off the tee so far this year, but I'm sure he'll keep improving. They've got a good group behind. He's got Stephen Milo with him. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how they go now, because obviously the way they play rugby, I thought it was perfect for this period of the season, really. And look, it's pragmatic and whatever, but look, that's how they want to play. That's how Toby Booth, that's how he's built that squad. And look, the huge part of the game is based on the pack now. You can't complain, really, as an Osprey fan. You've got that good up front, and then you can easily then, hopefully they'll improve then attacking-wise. I think they've started to show that, especially against Montpellier. I think they just need a little bit more X factor in that final third, really. And they're showing signs like that Owen Williams pass and that kind of thing. So hopefully they'll keep building, because you can see, like, maybe if they get a few sign-ins and that kind of thing, they can really build on what they've got so far.
Yeah, I mean, let's see who's still available to sign whenever budgets are confirmed in with inked paper by the end of January, February, whenever that might be. Murph, Harry was talking about X factor there, and when we talk about X factor, the one player for me who's got it in that back line is Reece Webb. I've been so impressed with his performances in recent weeks. Is he going to get back in that Wales squad, Murph?
Well, he's obviously got more chance now with the with Pivac gone, but still not guaranteed with Gatland. Just because of his age, but I think the fact that there's not a glut of young, decent nines like we have had in the past means that he probably, I mean, he stands out. Look, we've said over and over that the only player who stands out as much as Thomas Williams in matches, or influences matches as much as Thomas Williams in the nine jersey, is Reece Webb. No one else. Kieran Hardy, Dane Blackett is playing well, but he's not in that bracket, I wouldn't say. So if I was picking the Welsh squad tomorrow, it would be Thomas Williams, Reece Webb and Dane Blacker. On the same subject, I think the number 10 jersey's been flipped on his head in the last few weeks. You could, in theory, obviously only in theory, the three 10s in the Six Nations squad could be completely three different 10s from the ones that were in the Autumn Nations. So it was Anscombe, Priestland and Costello. Based on current form, you could go fit again, bigger, Owen Williams and back to his best, Jared Evans.
Interesting.
I mean, only because Anscombe's injured. I don't think you'd pick Jared over Anscombe otherwise. But that is a possibility. I mean, Owen Williams is a very Gatland type of 10. And he's playing as well as any, you know, just by doing the basics well, he's playing as well as any 10 in the country at the moment. So it's going to be, you probably know exactly when the squad announcement is, do you? Is there a date being released for the squad announcement? Jed?
I thought you were talking to Harry. You're looking for someone with a finger on the pulse, and actually, you come to me, which is...
Both of you will know better than I when it might be. And it could only be like a fortnight away, 3 weeks away. And it's a huge first squad.
Yeah, it is. And the interesting thing, I think, with that is so often in recent times... you've had the Heineken Cup fixtures in January have largely been meaningless because our sides have already been out of them by then. And I feel like this time around, at least you've had a good audition with some of the European stuff. I think the festive derbies again have given us, because most sides, I know obviously Cardiff had to make some changes and their pack wasn't necessarily, certainly wasn't their first choice pack. But generally speaking, I think all four sides put out strong sides for those games. Mm. So I think you got a good, there was a good kind of audition feel for it. Based on that, Harry, how do you see the halfback situation for the Six Nations? Who would you say would be the front runners for 9 and 10s?
Yeah, really interesting. The 9, you don't know what's going to happen. It's really strange, isn't it? No one's like put their hand up. You'd think maybe like a Kieran Hardy's got a taste of international rugby. He'd really, really kick on. I think he has played well in a Wales shirt, but this season he's really struggled in that scarlet jersey. And yeah, it's difficult for him. And I think, as you've mentioned before, now Reece Webb has shown some excellent signs at the moment. He's still, I don't know, it's a bit like going back a little bit, but I don't know who else has been in as good form as he has. He really put his hand up, especially the last few weeks. He's looking back to his best now. Thomas Williams as well, showing some excellent skills. He's just absolutely quality player. And I can't see, it's surely going to be them two really fighting for that 9 shirt coming up. Fly off as well. You've got to hope that Bigger's going to be back now. He's just such a calming influence on our Welsh side. So much experience and that kind of thing. I think Costello has really played well. I think he's really improving and he's starting to take that 10 shirt, a scarlet, and really stamp his authority on things. Owen Williams, as I said, I've been really impressed with him. It was a shame that he didn't come to Welsh rugby a few years ago, but nice to see him now. Hopefully they can sort something out really after his loan runs out. But look, he's come off a poor pre-season, hasn't he? He hasn't played too much. You'd think conditioning wise he's not been too great, but like even defensively, when he stopped Callum Mahoney, no one stops him in that area. And lucky he's on the end, he scored a good try in the end at Cardiff. And yeah, I think it's difficult not to go away from him, really. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, interesting stuff. I suppose while we're talking about Wales, starting to see, I guess, the makeup of what Gatland's coaching side may look like. I think it's been widely reported this week that Gethin Jenkins and Stephen Jones are set to be moved on. And I think that there may have been some talks with Howley, which is perhaps looking a little less likely now. How close do you think we are to getting a kind of finalised announcement on this, Harry?
I'm not too sure, really. I think maybe they were hoping to get in Howley back. I'm not too sure, but it's just finding who's available right now at the moment and who really wants to come in and try and provide our impetus. It's a difficult situation you're going into because people are saying it's like, it doesn't really, like, it's just a hit out and that kind of thing, but there'll be a lot of pressure come the Six Nations. People will be expecting a win. I'm hoping it's not long till the Six Nations now, so you would think that they should have their ideas and you've just got to hope now that they'll settle that now.
And then Murph, when it comes to that all-important defensive coach position, seems to be the latest runners are between Paul Gustard and Steve Tandy. Do you have a preference with either one of those?
Not especially. I feel a bit sorry for Stephen Jones. I get the impression that he couldn't get out from underneath Wayne Pivac in terms of what he wanted to do in the back line. That's it's just my hunch, really. And I don't think there was any question that Gethin was going to be let go because the defence was so inconsistent across the last sort of 12 months. As far as the defence coach goes, the only issue I would raise is the one I mentioned before about Steve Tandy. There's still a lot of Ospreys players in the squad who were coached by him before, and whether there's a bit of I don't mean ill feeling or anything like that, but just a bit of baggage over the number of people who've already been coached by him, and whether they actually could do with just a completely fresh face, which is what
got a bit Steve McLaren on us there,
even a little bit Sean Connery, or whether a completely new arrival like Sean Edwards was when he arrived would be a bigger benefit to the side. So maybe Paul Gusted.
Interesting. Right, well, there are loads more for us to still get stuck into, including a deep dive on Cardiff, Scarlets and the Dragons, if I can bear it. And all of that will be coming up after this very short break. Right then, into the second half. I want to take a look at Cardiff now. Obviously, we touched on them already. I suppose in the context of the wider season, Murph, how do you think Dai Young will assess his results at Christmas?
From his point of view, he's got to be pleased from where they were at the end of last season. And also, the next run of fixtures is quite tasty. They got Scarlets away next week, and then they're back into Newcastle and Brive. Brive, as we know, are not trying. Newcastle are out, I would imagine, and they've got to come down here anyway. So whatever happens against the Scarlet, they're gonna have it their own way for the rest of the month after that. So I think he'll be. I wouldn't go so far as to say delighted, because there's a lot of trouble down the road with cuts and players on long contracts and how much you can bring in and what have you, but with what he's got at the moment, I think he'd be pleased.
He seems to me like he's a coach who thrives when he's got his back against the wall. You know, I think it was a very similar thing at Wasps, you know, when the club was almost folding. I think a lot of people spoke very highly about the way he managed the club in that scenario. Harry, what does a good season look like for Cardiff? Have they got a realistic chance of making the playoffs?
I'm not quite sure. Without that pack, it's going to be tough. It's very tight around those spaces, really. I think Dai Young will be hoping he can, and maybe there's no reason that they can't. They've had some big results of late. The game against Sharks was fantastic. So they've just got to really build on that now. It is exciting for them at the moment, I would say. It's just tightening those areas, really. They've really struggled in the past few years with that pack, really. But again, as Murph said, from where they were last year, he'll be very pleased with how they're playing, and they're winning games now that they may not have won last year. So they've got over that hurdle. So the next thing then is just to take that next step. But there's no reason why they can't. They've got an excellent squad, some fantastic players, and they're definitely in form. And they seem like they've got a good formula now. They know how they're playing. They got those systems in place. A few injuries, but hopefully they'll be coming back strong coming up.
Yeah, and you mentioned the games that last season they didn't win. I suppose there's no better example of that than the fixture they've got next up against the Scarlets. I think it is at Cardiff Arms Park, actually, but they were battered in back-to-back weeks by the Scarlets last season. They have to go into this one favourites, don't they?
Yeah, you'd feel so. There's no reason why not. The Scarlets have really struggled. What a difference it's made from last year. Remember Liam Williams scoring that brilliant try, and now he's back. He played excellently against the Ospreys. And look, Scarlets will be pleased. They've got a win. I think it was huge for Dwayne Peel. But Cardiff, they weren't far off the other day, and they'll be really hoping they can make it better now. And yeah, you'd think they'd really get a good win now and push on.
And aside from some of those things you've mentioned there, Murph, I think the breakdown this season has been such a crucial area for Cardiff. How impressed have you been with that part of their game?
Yeah, in fairness, the last time they put a good run together was the Challenge Cup win, and it was based on almost no set piece and just stealing other people's possession and playing off turnover ball. That at that time, it was the Ellis Jenkins show, and this time it's the Thomas Young show. So probably the difference between this era and that is they have got a line out. And when you've got our hip and Dylan Lewis fit, there is a semblance of a scrum there. But it was a bit too much for Will Davies King yesterday. And then Nazarati after that. So, I think they're in a better place than they were, I think, than when they won that last time around. And they are looking good for another deep run into Europe this year. Whether they can sustain, there's not that actually many league games left for Cardiff outside of Europe. Whether they can get enough, they haven't got many hard fixtures left in the league, so it's not impossible, but whether they can sustain their December form, I'm not so sure.
Fair enough. And moving on to the Scarlets, Harry, you published an article recently, an interview you'd done with Johnny Barclay, and he seemed to suggest that there was a fair amount of pressure on Dwayne Peel when, you know, we kind of had a few Scarlets fans on here say that he had kind of credit in the bank from, you know, from being a bit of a being a legend down there. Presumably that win does release whatever pressure there is on him to a certain degree.
Yeah, there's a huge release there. They needed that. They were very close to the bottom of the table. And, you know, it's been a difficult time, a very difficult season. And look, he's trying to implement a very difficult style of rugby down there, and maybe not got the squad that he wants. But that's what he has to deal with. And look, it's very difficult circumstances as a new coach coming in. Having to deal with so much, but obviously there's pressure. You need to get results, and if you're not getting them, it's a goldfish bowl in South Wales, and the Scarlets fans want success. They've had recent success in Europe and in the URC. They need to improve. They've got to get better. Their discipline is diabolical. It's not acceptable at this stage. I don't know how many cards it is. I think, is it 4 red cards, 11 yellow cards?
Yeah, I think it is. And do you know what? It's not just the card stuff. I think it was I think Mark Jones was on the English language commentary on S4C yesterday, and he said that, you know, obviously the cards are the bit that you look at, but then it's giving away silly penalties at silly times, and there were a couple of instances there yesterday. I mean, how do you go about rectifying those kind of things?
Yeah, they're just putting so much pressure on themselves. I think they do play lovely rugby when they're allowed, but when they're put under pressure, they fold very quickly, and they're asking a lot of their side. And when it gets difficult this season, it seems like they're finding it difficult to get out of that hole. And unfortunately, giving away those penalties, maybe under pressure and that kind of thing. But some of the things, like the Callum Mahoney red card, it's just not needed, and it just makes it even worse then. And it could have been a difficult game for them. But yeah, luckily they got out of that hole quite well last night.
Yeah, Merv, how much do you think the fact that they did get out of that one will kind of give them confidence that if they can keep 15 men on the pitch at some point, then then things will get better?
Well, first of all, on the subject of the red card, there was a lot of like booing and griping in the Llanelli crowd. I don't know what the argument was. Pulling a scrum cap off, I don't think is a red card offence.
It's not a red card offence.
No. So therefore, it's a yellow. And you know, obviously, it started with push and shove in between Ashton Hewitt and second row, which pushing and shoving is all you're allowed to do now and get away with. So that was fine. But then Callum Mahoney came in from a long way out in a hurry, like as if Joe Mahler had just insulted his mother or something. And then so every then it exploded. Everyone joined in, and it ended up with Moriarty pulling his scrum cap off through two punches. One of them landed, gets a red card, and then from then on, the crowd were booing the ref or booing something or booing Ross Moriarty, I suppose, but booing everything. But I couldn't see any much in the way of a grey area there or any injustice at all. I thought it was an odd one.
No, there's no injustice. Yeah. It's a red card, and it's a silly one. And I think he knows that the minute he sees it. You know, there was no kind of gripe from him. I think he just knew he'd let the red miss descend. And, you know, that's what Moriarty does, doesn't he? He's a niggly in-your-face player.
But it tells you more about...
You can't react to it.
No, exactly. But it tells you more, I think, about the... attitude and the pressure and the mindset of the Scarlets players before the game. They were really fired up because they knew if they lose this one, you know, anyone could be, you know, from there, anyone could be sacked. So probably too fired up for the game. And that's why Callum Maffoni acted the way he did. I don't know. I personally think the way the game went was more on the Dragons than the Scarlets. I think they reverted to type. When I say type, I mean previous seasons where attacking ball in the opposition third, shall we say, the final third of the pitch, and there was no organisation at 10. There's no one arranging anything or any shape or any kind of plan from the 10 jersey or the first reserve jersey setting things up. And that's why they kept running up against giving the ball away and being under pressure again. And I actually felt
it was 9 was the problem. Like Lewis James was kind of trying to do too much.
Right.
And I think in those scenarios, having a Rodri Williams in the game and pulling the strings from 9, I think would have made a massive difference.
Even Bertie Wu would have
made a difference, because it's just that it's that experience and also not that Lewis Jones is an inexperienced player, but it's having someone who plays first team rugby and you know, and in Bertrand's case, the you know, a test match level.
Yeah,
that decision making just makes it so much easier.
Just felt like they were losing their way in attack, you know, and that was allowing the Scarlets to get out, even though they were a man down most of the time. So, although obviously, you know, I think the Scarlets could improve from this result because it's a big turning point for them, maybe. I think the blame for yesterday lies squarely with the way the Dragons played myself.
Would you agree with that, Harry?
Yeah, I was impressed with the Scarlets defence, though. I think they've struggled this year, conceded like 330 points, something like that. But they've got... Puried some really big hits. They were winning that physical battle a lot of the time, sending them backwards and putting the fly off under pressure. I thought it's big for them, hopefully. They played well in Europe and that kind of thing. But I think they after a few, a difficult first half, but I think Hanrahan played really well. I think they got over that then, and to nil the Dragons in the second half. I think their defence stood strong, and that's a big sign for them, I think, because it's an area they've really struggled with so far this season.
And on the Dragons, you know, for all the improvements that have been made since Ty Flanagan took over, he's got to be disappointed with no wins from two there, hasn't he, Harry?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know whether it's the end of the new manager bounce or what, but they seem to have reverted back to type, as you said. Look, there are positives. I think missing a few key players, really. Obviously, they got a difficult turnaround, haven't they? So they have to be careful with selection and that kind of thing. And maybe a few changes here and there maybe disrupted them a little bit. But they just don't seem to be able to win games at the moment. That Cardiff game was really showed that. They seem to be getting up there now. Like last season, they were nowhere near. So this year, they really stepped up. But again, it's that final step, which they don't seem to be able to make at the moment. And I don't know what that is. I don't know whether that game management, or maybe it's a thing of like they're used to losing at the moment. They've lost a few games and they're struggling with their confidence. But yeah, he definitely needs to turn it around now.
What do you think, Murph? Why can't the Dragons get over the line in these kind of games? We've had, you know, a draw away to the Lions, a disappointing result against Poe at home, and then two opportunities to win games at Christmas. What do you think that's about, Murph?
Will Rowlands being out for any length of time is not good when he's your best forward by a mile. And the scrum half issue yesterday. And I also think if they had hung on to win on Boxing Day, yesterday might have been a different game, because the confidence they'd have taken from beating Cardiff, nearest rivals, bitter rivals, whatever you want to call them, the derby game. They haven't won it for that fixture for a long time. I think it might have been a different animal yesterday, but now having got so close on Boxing Day and then completely buggered up an extra man advantage yesterday, I worry for him.
Yeah, no, I'd completely agree with all of that. To me, I think Harry mentioned it there. It's that kind of thing about winning becoming a habit. Well, you know, losing becomes a habit even easier, doesn't it? And it's become a habit for a decade now. And I think they've definitely improved. We said at the start of the season, you know, an improvement for the Dragons would be to win some games at home and to not get hammered in games that they were getting hammered in before.
Yeah,
and to me, it's like, it's like a test match cricket side that always scores 300. You know, on a bad wicket, that represents a good, that represents a good score. But on a road where you should be scoring 550, it doesn't. And that's the thing for me, is like they just need to get, they've got to put away the opportunities to win. And I think you're absolutely right. You win that game against Cardiff on Boxing Day, you win away to the Scarlets when they've had a man sent off. I think it is just that kind of that final mental thing, coupled with a few bits of selection. Another thing you mentioned there, Murph, Will Rowlands missing, and he's made such a big impact at the Dragons. May even have played his last game, you know, bearing in mind he's injured and is leaving at the end of the season. How big a hole is that going to be, Harry, in the Dragons squad?
Yeah, it's massive, isn't it? He's quality international operator now. He'd make a difference to our Wales team, really, if you think of it. I know they've brought in Matthew Screech, who is a good, fair play to him, he's an excellent player, but like you're still going to miss that front forward ball whenever you give it to him, and that kind of thing. And it's not just that, it's his leadership as well. He's really grown in these last few years. He's really dragged that Dragon side, especially after that slow start. I think he made a big impact about turning that around with the new coach as well. He's a big miss. I don't know that they can't replace him, obviously. It's very difficult, but yeah, it's a shame he's leaving, because he's had a big impact there. And I think he's a bit of a fan's favourite and that kind of thing. And yeah, it's definitely a shame he may have played his last game.
Yeah, he's definitely a player who never took a backward step. You know, even though it's only going to end up being two seasons he's played there, I think he's made an absolutely massive impact. Just before we wrap up on the Christmas derby, I just wanted to touch on the prickly subject of attendances, which can often be a minefield when it comes to Welsh rugby. But you know, you said there, Murphy, obviously a good sellout crowd at Cardiff yesterday. The attendances made for some pretty decent reading over the Christmas period. You know, Dragons Cardiff was 8,500, Osprey Scarlets was 11,500, and Scarlets Dragons was I think about 8,500 yesterday as well. To me, this says one thing, that it's like if you have some meaningful rugby, people will go and attend. I just worry now that when we get back to kind of standard Pro 14 fixture list, that this is where it's going to get quite difficult. Coupled with this, Harry, there's been an effort from supporters to protest against the way the WRU's been running the regional game. How much do you think that the union will be listening to these fans?
Look, you'd want to say that's all important really. They're the most important aspect to this situation really. Without bums on seats, what do you have? But look, what we've seen so far, it doesn't seem like they're looking at outside sources or anything. They're just happy with how things are perceivably going from their end. I don't quite know why, but yeah, hopefully will have an impact. And you've seen stuff on TV, a few signs and that kind of thing, and it is a good sign that people are coming out now, and there is more of a wider debate on what is happening right now. But there seems to be a bit of a glass house kind of situation, and they seem to be very happy with how things are going. But maybe with Wayne Pivac going a very dismal autumn series, hopefully they can see now that there are issues.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right there. Just to go back to some of the obviously we mentioned Will Rowlands there leaving Wales. There's a lot of, and coupled with the ongoing kind of uncertainty, there's a lot of talk about other players who may be exiting Wales at the end of the season. I've heard obviously Gareth Anscombe rumours have been doing the rounds for a little while now with a move to France. Possibly Poe, I think, are in the driving seat for that. Nicky Smith is another who's been kind of linked with a move away. Murph, how damaging do you think this kind of ongoing uncertainty is going to end up being on the squads of the sides next season?
Yeah, well, it clearly is. I mean, I Cardiff definitely didn't want to lose Max Llewellyn, and he's gone. And the blame for that can only lie at the foot of the deal for still, as I mean, it's in the offing now, but back then when Max Llewellyn had signed for whoever it was in the West Country, it wasn't, and therefore Cardiff weren't in a position to tie him down. He's still going to be available, we think, still going to be available for Wales because he's never been picked for Wales before. But I mean, look, we've covered it quite recently. I mean, the indecision and lack of anyone putting their neck on the block at the WIU, just kind of protecting their position and making sure they don't have to stand down for any reason. That seems to be the way it's been going in recent years. And fingers crossed now that there's a new chairman, new coach, more decisions seem to be getting made. But the guy at the top of it all is still in position, and he's not qualified, as far as I'm concerned, not qualified to do the job. So that's the next change I would like. I've read something about Ian Evans calling for an EGM to get that proposal put through again. The one that was knocked back at the last...
Independent chair.
Yeah, the one that was knocked back at the last AGM. So an EGM as soon as possible to get that through. I think everyone is probably on board with that now. And that would be, the start, but I still, the other thing I spotted, I don't know if that was today or yesterday, Amanda Blanc is up for some award for conduct in business circles. And Steve Phillips isn't. On the subject of players leaving now, a lot of cuts going to be made at the regions, wherever this deal is coming up, because they've just got the financial reality of where they are. They've all got to make cuts. In coming seasons, there's a lot of Welsh internationals over the border, not just current ones, but future ones. So like Chris Schunzer, by the time he finishes university, he's going to be coming out of whatever contract he's on with Exeter. And then someone in this country is going to have to find the money to pay him to come. And obviously, he'd be on the 80-20 of the WIU. David Jenkins as well. Then you've got Louis Rees-Sammet. His contract can't run forever. And he's going to be properly expensive when he gets his next contract. Max Llewellyn is there. And if he's as good as we think he is, eventually he'll be an international and he'll have to come back. And then there's Callum Sheedy, if he's still in the fold. His contract can't go on forever. I've probably missed a few. But all those players have got to come to regions who haven't got any money. Like I say, most of them, if they're in Welsh contention at the time, will be on the 80-20. But then if they come to that club and suddenly they're out of favour with the WIU, then their wage bill is back onto the club again. So it's some tricky decisions and awkward times ahead, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you see there, Harry? Because obviously Murph said there, you know, players will have to come back. This 60 cap rule will be under the spotlight even more, I would say, this coming year. How do you see that playing out? Are we going to see this a change to that rule, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think there has to be. There's too much pressure now. Finances are very difficult everywhere in rugby, especially in Wales. But it just seems silly at the moment. It seems like there's an impasse. I think, yeah, the pathways don't seem to be looking good as well. A lot of young players go into Hartbury, etc., and it's making it a bit more difficult as well. But yeah, it's a difficult situation. The 60 cap rule in principle is a good idea. You want your best players playing for your regions and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, money talks, and it will be difficult in the coming months.
Yeah, I think so. You know, so much of this to me stems to the fundamental problem within club rugby is there is too much rugby played and not enough money within it. And the international part, you know, and this is not exclusive to Wales, the international part is the only real bit that makes money. And therefore, you know, you're flogging these players week in, week out. And as a result, you end up with lots of meaningless rugby, which waters down the overall product. So, you know, I think there's so much has to change, because that 60 cap rule, as you said, has enabled some regions to strengthen their squad as a result. But it's also allowed the national side to have players uninterrupted throughout international campaigns. And without that, it becomes a very tricky scenario, all of which is avoided if you stop playing club rugby during international times. But yeah, I just feel like we're going round in circles with this one, which is feels like quite a somber note to end the podcast on. So let's maybe instead get each of you to name the one player across the Christmas period who you've most enjoyed watching. Let's start with you on that one, Murph.
You caught me on the hop there, mate.
I caught you on the hop because I ended up going down a wormhole of pessimism, as I often do.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, I think two outside halves who have had a great December, Owen Williams and Jared Evans. Jared Evans back to his best. Probably still wouldn't have got picked by Wayne Pivac, but he might well get picked by Warren Gatland. And great to have Owen Williams back in Wales, where someone should have been after him. Well, obviously, if there was any money around, I guess he would have been. But someone should have gone after him a long time ago, because especially this era of Owen Williams, he looks the business to me.
Fair enough. And what about you, Harry?
Yeah, I've been enjoying the battles on the wing, really. You'd have to say Rio Dyer for me. I think he enjoyed an excellent autumn, and he's continued to show his excellent form. He's looking an international beast at the moment, and a very exciting prospect.
Is the right answer, of course. you'll be welcome back here anytime, Harry. But that brings us to a conclusion for the first show of the year. A big thank you to Harry for joining us on his first cap, and a thank you to the veteran, Mighty Murph,
the gnarly veteran.
As always, a big thanks to our sponsors at So Coffee Trades. If you want to get some quality coffee, then do that by heading over to socoffeetrades.co.uk. Next week, we will be reviewing all the rugby that takes place over the weekend. So we've got Dragons versus the Bulls, Cardiff versus Scarlets, and Ospreys versus Leinster. So all of that, plus whatever news there has been in the week. And of course, we start looking ahead to the Six Nations as well. So make sure you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, wherever you get your pods. And we'll be back to chat rugby with you soon. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.